You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 23 today. Psalms chapter number 23. And so we have 1 week left on our series of finding rest for your souls, finding rest for your souls. I know that I have most certainly been encouraged and blessed by walking through where rest is found or why rest is needed. You know, we talked about the first week where rest truly starts. It starts at laying down our sin at the Savior's feet. Remember grabbing that backpack, taking it off, that picture of the burden of sin, hanging it on the cross. A Christian cannot have rest, true rejuvenation while they are indeed carrying around the weight of sin in their life. Then last week we talked about rest for the laboring. And it's not just those literally just serving the Lord in the church, because if we are Christians, our life should permeate everything that we do is should be as unto the Lord. This week we're looking at refreshment in the presence of the Lord, or in the presence of our shepherd. Psalms 23 is very well may be the best known psalm as well as chapter in the whole entire Bible. Many people throughout the whole entire world know this psalm. It has become so because of the rest and peace it promises the sheep, which are us, in light of the good care of the shepherd, which is Christ Jesus, that peace and rest that he affords his sheep. Today we will look at three elements from these first three verses of Psalms, and we will see how true rest and refreshment can only be found in his presence. I'll give you the 3 points right now, so that way while I'm preaching, you can listen. And then that way if something else sticks out to you that you want to write it down, that the Holy Spirit, that way you're not so focused on taking notes, because I do want you to listen with your heart, with your ears, but we're going to look at three different elements. There must be a surrendered relationship. There must be a personal relationship. Then and only then, there will be refreshment in the relationship. There must be a surrender. There must be a surrendered relationship. There must be a personal relationship. There, then, and only then, there will be refreshment in the relationship. Who's been being able to meditate on Matthew chapter 11? Remember that little card I gave you a couple weeks ago? Matthew chapter 11. I feel like we should say it without putting it on the board up there. Who's been meditating on it? Matthew chapter 11. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to read it again, okay? I've asked that everybody meditate on it, memorize it. It's come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor, right, and are heavy laden. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to help you meditate on it a little bit more today. Let's all stand. We're going to read these three verses, and then we're also going to read the first three verses of Psalms 23. Read Matthew, if you would, with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go to that next slide here, and we have Psalms 23, many of you know this, have memorized this, have meditated on this, but let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. These two passages of Scripture are very closely linked and intertwined, that idea of restoring our souls. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to truly help us to see that refreshment that we find in His presence. Father, I come to You, and Lord God, we're so blessed. We're so blessed, first and foremost, to have Your Word. Lord, realizing that this Word always has been, and it always will be for eternity past. Lord Jesus, You are the Word. And You've given us these truths, Lord, that we might know You better. That we might truly find this rest, not just through Your Word, but in Your presence. Lord, I pray that You would help us today to truly find rest from the weight of sin and rest from that laboring and rest in Your presence, Lord, that we as Christians so desperately need. Father, so tomorrow, Lord, when we get up, we can find that strength to continue on, to be faithful, Lord, until the end, until Your return, or until You take us home, that we wouldn't be Christians that fall away or backslide from You, but that we would stay close to You and remain faithful till the very end, because we find rest, we find rejuvenation in You. Lord, help us. Open our eyes to see. Help us to behold wonderful things out of Thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so today, we're going to kind of just jump right in to this Psalms. And so, as I mentioned earlier, point number one, there must be a surrendered relationship. There must be a surrendered relationship. We're talking about finding rest for your souls. And today, finding that rest and rejuvenation in His presence. Say the first five words of Psalms chapter number 23 with me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In order for the Lord to truly be our shepherd, one has to be willing to be led and not to take the lead. There is a surrender of one's own will to be led, not to lead. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you have taken the back seat to His leadership. There will never, ever be in the life of a Christian someone who ever, if they're following Christ, will ever surpass better or never surpass the need to follow Jesus' leadership. You'll never get to the place in your Christian life where you say, I no longer need to follow Jesus. There must be a surrendered relationship, a understanding of this element, that in order for the Lord to truly be our shepherd, and it's interesting because so many people say, oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, but they do not follow the shepherd. They do not follow the shepherd. Many people would say the Lord is my shepherd, but they don't even know the shepherd. They know the words. They know the psalm, but they're still leading their own life. They've not surrendered their wills to say, God, nevertheless, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. You know, the sheep don't lead the shepherd. We understand that, don't we? But how many of us as sheep think we're qualified to lead? You know, if we're really talking about where rest and rejuvenation starts, it starts in surrendering our leadership, ourself before Him in that relationship. The sheep don't lead the shepherd, but the shepherd always leads the sheep. As Christians, it's easy for us to say, the Lord is my shepherd, but we have not yet surrendered ourselves to His leading. This is paramount for a Christian, because when sheep lead themselves, they always go astray. Do you understand when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives and He was looking at the children of Israel and He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you But he was saying that he identified that every man was going his own way and that every man thought that he knew what was best. And he found himself restless, or the children of Israel found themselves restless and tired, unable to find the rest that God truly wanted to give them. When sheep lead themselves, they always go astray. That's why sheep need a shepherd. God designed it this way from the very beginning of creation. So Isaiah 53, 6, anybody know it? All we like sheep have made the right choices. Is that what it says? All we like sheep have found the right path. No, that's not what it says. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. See, the sheep, or that lamb that thinks they know what's better than the shepherd, they will always go astray because they think they know what's best. Before the Lord can become your shepherd, in Psalms 23, it's extremely important that we understand you must be willing to bow before the cross in Psalms chapter 22. Does anybody know what Psalms 22 is all about? It's the Old Testament picture of the crucifixion, the cross of Christ. See, as sheep, we have to be willing to submit ourselves and understand that the shepherd's way is the best way. Until a Christian understands that, their life will be full of toil and restlessness, never happy, never content, never finding rejuvenation, because they're following their own way, not his way. In Isaiah 53, 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Does anybody know the rest of that verse? And he hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. When you understand the shepherd and how he laid down his life for you and me, it should not be hard to trust him and follow his way, which leads to life, because he was willing to die for our life. See, Jesus would say in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is who we're following. We're not following a dictator that's beating us, a dictator that's driving us. We're following a shepherd that will literally, when you look at Psalms 22, that psalm of, the before the picture of the cross in the Old Testament, you know, I think about Psalms 22, 16. It says, for the dogs have compassed me about. The dogs. What's the role of a shepherd? To protect the sheep. From the what? From the dogs. From the wolves. From the lions, from the bears. See, the shepherd that we're following, he wants to keep us safe. Oh, how we forget that. See, we serve a shepherd that saw the dogs, that saw the devil as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he was willing to lay down his life to save our life. But yet we think we know better. Who do you think has a better interest in your life? You or the shepherd? Who do you think cares more about you? You or the shepherd? Our flesh makes us think, I care about you. No, you just care about my pleasure, my lust, those things, but you don't care about my soul. And see, the good shepherd cares for our soul. The good shepherd wants to give us rest for our souls. Finding rest starts with a surrendered relationship and a trust for the shepherd. See, you have to be willing to say, Lord, lead me. And you have to be willing to say, I don't know where I'm going. Lord, leave me, lead me, lead me. Too many of us as Christians, we call the Lord our shepherd. We say it verbally, but can I ask you to truly evaluate your own life and say, does my life truly reflect the leading of the Good Shepherd? Because if we're constantly restless, constantly toiling, constantly wore out by the world and everything in it, I would cause us to reevaluate who we truly are following. Because as that sheep that's gone astray, wandering about, having no direction, sense whatsoever. That's why the Bible says Jesus is the one, that good shepherd, that when one sheep goes astray, he'll go out and find that one lost sheep, because that lost sheep will never find its way back without the shepherd. See, he understands that. There must be a surrendered submission in this relationship. There is a great confidence, too. I want you to think about this. There is a great confidence when we can have when the Lord truly is our shepherd. You know, I like how the psalmist didn't say, I hope so, or maybe so. But with confidence, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, there's great confidence and courage and peace and rest when you can say truly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is your shepherd. There's great peace when a Christian can lay his head down every night on his bed and say, I don't fear where my soul is going to go, because I know the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, it's great peace when a sheep can lay his head down on the pillow. Sheep don't lay their head down on pillows. But when a Christian lays their head down on a pillow, and even though the circumstances of life may be whirling and they're walking through what appears to be the valley of the shadow of death, maybe it's a physical ailment, maybe it's a financial issue, maybe it's a relational issue, but can lay their head down with peace and comfort, saying, hey, I know the Lord is my shepherd. There's great confidence and great peace in having the Lord as your shepherd. It must be a surrendered relationship, but also there must be a personal relationship. I want you to notice the psalmist here. Verse number one says, the Lord is what? My. It's personal. I shall not want. He maketh me, personal. It's personal to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Did you notice that there's only two people mentioned here? Just two. Do you realize that if you were the only person in the world, that Jesus would have died for you? Do you realize that? Have you thought about that? I love how the psalmist makes it personal. There was only two people here. It was him and the shepherd. See, it wasn't that the Lord loved the world more collectively as a whole, and therefore he died for the world as a whole, than he would have for you as an individual. No, God died just as much for the world as a whole as he did for you as an individual personally. And I love how the psalmist here captures the true essence of what a personal relationship with the Lord looks like. Because it doesn't happen on Sunday morning at 9 or 11. It doesn't happen Sunday night during small groups, and it sure doesn't happen on Wednesday night for Bible study. You know when it does happen? Monday morning when you get up before in that quiet time where it's just you and the Lord. There's a great rest and peace that comes from an in-depth personal relationship with the shepherd. And to have this kind of relationship with the shepherd, one must stay close to him. See, David could write such words, yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also experienced in his own personal relationship with the Lord. He spoke truth when he said, hey, I have experienced the Lord leading me in my life. Hey, I've went astray, but I've also experienced the Lord leading me to green pastures. Besides the still waters. But you know what? He had to stay close to the shepherd. He had to stay close to the shepherd. The Lord desires to have a personal relationship with you. The question is, do you desire to have a personal relationship with him? Because it's not going to happen on Sunday morning. When's the last time that you truly opened your Bible and walked with the Lord personally? I'm not even talking about on your phone. I think sometimes our phone has just so consumed our relationship with the Lord that all we do is press play, we drive down the road, there's no personal interaction, we take in some words, we forget it, but there's no personal devotional time. And I'm not against listening to it, but there is a personal time that's fully devoted with the Lamb and the Shepherd here. If we want rest, there needs to be personal interaction with you and the Lord. And the Lord most certainly desires to have a personal relationship with you. Do you desire to have a personal relationship with him? Revelations chapter 3 verse 20, this is not a verse of talking about salvation. It's talking about an entering in to a relationship where we commune with the Lord because he desires to have a relationship with us. When he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. It's personal again. It's us and the Lord, and I will sup with him. It's the idea of a sitting down with the Lord, a breaking bread together. It's just the two of us. And he with me. Do you desire that? Psalms 42, as the heart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O my God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Do you have a hungering for the Lord? Do you have a thirst for the Lord? Do you have a desire for him? Because most certainly he desires you. Do you have a personal, private relationship with the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd? Have you been learning about him? Remember, we want rest. We want rest. Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and take my, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. Learn of me. Hey, have you taken any time? Christian, be honest with yourself. Are you just calling yourself a Christian, but you have no relationship with the Lord? You can be saved and still have no relationship really at all with the Lord. Do you pick up your Bible? Do you get down in the private? Remember when Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. It's a private relationship that happens. When's the last time you truly sat down and opened the Word of God? When was the last time you truly went into your closet to pray privately with the Lord? Those who have that personal relationship will find that personal rest for their souls. We see it must be a surrendered relationship. There must be a personal relationship. But then number three, there will be. Then and only then there will be refreshment in the relationship. See, it's kind of like the person who says, God, I'll tithe when you give me first. You know, God, I don't see how tithing is going to work, right? And, you know, and this is where faith comes into play. We want to see God give us first before we step out by faith. God doesn't work like that. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. As Christians, we want God to give us rest first. Then we'll seek you. Then we'll follow you. Give me rest first, but it doesn't work that way. Rest is found in the process of growing in our relationship with the Lord. I love, there will be refreshment in the relationship. Verse number 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Spurgeon said, a person that desires more than God as his shepherd cannot truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. A person who wants or desires more than what God has blessed them with, what God has given them with, cannot truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. Because if the Lord truly is your shepherd, you will say within yourself, I have need of nothing. I shall not want. We will lack, and take this to the bank, please. Because these are his words. When the Lord is our shepherd, it wasn't just exclusive for the psalmist here. It's exclusive for all of those who follow the shepherd. They could truly call him the good shepherd. We will lack nothing when we truly follow the Lord as our shepherd. All our needs will be met in him and in him alone. Our needs will not be met through our bank account, through our job, through a raise, through a doctor's report, through medication, through this or through that. Our needs will be met just like Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs. And I like the next word. It's not needs. It's need. Singular. Singular. And the sole need is only found in that verse when it says, by Christ Jesus. See, the psalmist is saying the same thing here. That all my needs and all my wants are wrapped up in the shepherd. You know, the prodigal son never lacked anything until he what? Walked away from the father. See, most of the time as Christians, we lack in our life. It's because we're not following the good shepherd. See, when we walk away from the good shepherd, that's when we lack. That's when we can't find the green pastures. That's when we can't find the still waters. That's when we can't find restoration for our soul that it so desperately needs. See, the prodigal son had everything in the presence of the father, but when he walked away from the father, that's when he lacked. But in the presence of the father, all his needs were provided, every single one. But the Christian who walks with the shepherd will have need of nothing. There's such a great rest and refreshment in being able to have confidence, not in yourself to meet your needs, but in the Savior to meet your needs. You know, that husband is trying to be like, well, I just got to do this, and I got to work a little harder, and I got to get this. You're missing it. Because there's one of two people you're trusting in to provide for you and your family. It's the Lord or it's yourself. Now, by no means am I saying be lazy. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But the burden of responsibility is not on you and on me. It's on the Lord, unless if something's changed. Last time I read, Matthew 6:31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. But seek ye first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things shall be added unto you. When we are following the shepherd, it's his responsibility to provide for the sheep, not we ourselves. We forget that as Christians. And we try to take the role as the shepherd, but we're always going to be sheep. Because the provision, let's look at it. Verse number 2, what's that first word? What is it? He. The more participation, the quicker we'll go. the first word is? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. He, him, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Who makes me to lie down in green pastures? Myself or him? It's the shepherd. What's that next word after that? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. It's him. The burden of responsibility is on him. Oh, there's great peace when you can lay your head down and say, I don't know how God's going to provide for that building across the street, and I don't know how God's going to provide for my next meal for tomorrow, because we've been there. I remember there's times where me and my wife talking, and she went to the store, and she had enough for a head of cabbage, and that was it. She turns a little bit into wonderful things. That's all I can say. But God, right? You know, how? What are we going to do? How are we going to have tomorrow? God says, don't worry about tomorrow. There's sin that comes from worrying about tomorrow. He says, hey, trust me. Just trust me. It's my responsibility. The most exhausted Christians are those trying to find their own strength, trying to find greener pastures and better waters than the one that the good shepherd has provided for you. See, you know, why do most sheep walk away? Because maybe they think they know where greener pastures are, right? You know, the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence, right? I haven't heard that. The grass isn't greener on the other side. Is that what it is? We think we know what's better until we get over there and we realize, nope. You know, we think we can find more refreshing waters. No, we can't. He is the only one who can truly lead us to green pastures and to the calm waters. He is the only one that knows the way. I want you to understand, there's two different terms talked about here when it says leading. He leads us to refreshment, but then also he leads us to righteousness. He brings us to green pastures. There is great nourishment and relaxation. That phrase there, to lie, literally means to stretch out oneself. You ever seen like a animal or a dog just kind of like laying on the ground like all
stretched out?
You know, we got a dog, man. I mean, this dog just stretches like, I mean, it sprawls out. I mean, you know, it's resting, it's relaxing, it's enjoying life. I mean, it's just moaning and groaning like, hey, it couldn't be better. That idea where the Lord leads us to this place where we can lie down, that literally means to stretch out oneself, to rest and relax without fear of want of anything. He leadeth us beside still waters. Notice he's not behind us. And this is important. Notice the shepherd isn't behind us. He's in front of us. He's leading us. He's not driving us. He's showing us the way. He's not beating us in the way, right? That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. He's leading. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those with young. He's a gentle leader. He really is. He's not forceful. He's not dictating. He's not dictatorial. He's a very, in fact, gentle leader. The more you get to learn about Jesus, you're going to find out what kind of man he truly is. Notice where he leads us. He leads us to what? Still waters. That word still means a quiet place. It's still waters. It's not a roaring rapid. It's still waters. It's calm waters. It's refreshing. I don't have to be worried about being swept away in it. I can go next to it. I can rest in its quietness and its calmness. He leads us from the noise and the franticness of the world to a quiet, still place of calmness and rest when we are following him. I love what Job says in Job chapter 34, verse 29, when he says, when he giveth quietness, talking about the Lord, who then can make trouble? When the Lord leads us to a place of quietness, it doesn't matter if the whole entire world's spinning out of control, Micah says, even in the whirlwind, you know, that whirlwind that's spinning out of control, Even in the world when he has control and when that sheep is trusting in the shepherd, they're not frantic about it. They're very restful. It's a very peaceful thing. And when he giveth quietness, who then can make troubled? It's only then we come to the place where our souls are restored. You know, when he says, hey, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. It's kind of like a process that's taking place in the heart of the believer. You know, that's the same word that's talked about that the psalmist used in chapter 51. And if anybody knows Psalms 51 and what it means, it's the psalm of repentance from David. And he uses the same word in verse number 12 when he says, restore unto me the joy of my what? Salvation. You know, too many Christians have lost their joy. You know, if you get to the place where your joy for your salvation is cold and stagnant and dead, you're missing something. You need your soul restored where you can find once again that joy under your salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. What is more restoring and refreshing than our salvation? Only when we follow him in the green pastures and those calm waters can we once again find restoration of our soul? Can we find restoration, the true joy of our salvation, as well as a continual joy in our salvation? You know, I hope you never get over being saved. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. I don't care if you've been saved 60 years. You ever see a grumpy Christian? They're missing something. They are. Because I don't care if you're 70, 80, 90. There is joy in salvation when we're following the good shepherd. When is the last time you truly rejoiced and found joy in your salvation? It's interesting that he not only leads us to still waters, but I want you to notice in those two words, they're the same English words that we see on paper, but they're very different. One is leading to a place of refreshment. The other is leading to a place of righteousness. Here, when he says in verse number 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the last point right here. This one path, many people have tried to find without the good shepherd, but have miserably failed. See, there's only one person, Steve, that knows where the path of righteousness is found. And it's him. Too many people throughout this world have tried to find that good path of righteousness in themselves, outside in religion and denomination, only to miserably fail and falter because they're not following the good shepherd. See, to find the path of righteousness, one must follow the one who has been there. See, you and I have not been to the place of righteousness unless the good shepherd lead us there. For he has already walked that path of righteousness. He has already tread that path before us. See, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and have failed to find the way to God. See, for the righteous path leads us into the presence of God. For we only know the path that leads to death. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But see, the good shepherd knows the path that leads to life and to righteousness. No matter how hard you and I may try to find the path of righteousness without Jesus, the good shepherd leading us, they will never find it without him. For it is only through the shepherd can the righteous path be found. You know, that would save a lot of Christians the toil of trying to be good Christians, but yet not following the Lord. That's why the Galatians got in so much trouble and were called literally fools. Oh, foolish Galatians! Are you trying now to find the righteous path in your own flesh and in your own ways after being saved? See, Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. No matter how hard one may try to find the path of righteousness without Jesus, it can't be found. For it is only through the shepherd can the righteous path be found. Oh, I want you to think about this, and then we'll close. Oh, how refreshing it is to walk in the true path of righteousness. And I think it's great how it's the culmination here of bringing the green pastures, the still waters, the restoring of our soul. And it culminates to the path of righteousness. For see, there is no weight of guilt or shame on this path. Nor is there the burden of sin upon our backs. Just the refreshing glow of the sun upon our faces and the glory of God reflecting from our lives. For when we follow Him in the paths of righteousness, we will find rejuvenation and our shepherd's name will be exalted, that He indeed is a good shepherd and greatly to be praised. See, when the sheep are walking in the path of righteousness, the shepherd gets the glory, but the sheep find great rest. You know, if you're here today and you're burdened down, maybe it's by the weight of sin. Maybe it's by guilt and shame. Hey, listen, I can't preach it anymore. You have to come to the place where you yourself taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, let's stop talking about as Christians, the Lord is my shepherd, but indeed not following Him. Let's make it in action and in word today as we take a time to reflect. My wife's going to come sit at the piano. As we take a time to reflect, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, how did the Holy Spirit speak to you? And if the Holy Spirit didn't speak to you, it's not the Bible that's the problem. It's our heart. What did the Holy Spirit lay on your heart? Did He encourage through the Scripture? Did He convict through the Scripture? Did He challenge through the Scripture? See, there's great rest when the Lord is our shepherd, but maybe the Lord indeed is your shepherd. You've been brought into His flock, but maybe you're here today and you still have not taken the surrendered part of being led, and you are still leading your own life. You know, and you found yourself, yes, a Christian indeed, putting your faith in Jesus for your salvation, but you've gone astray from the Lord. And you can't seem to find rest. You can't seem to find rejuvenation. Maybe it's because you need to let the good shepherd lead, because He'll give you those things. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's just hitting the play button on the way to work, but there's no real intentionality or sitting before the Word of God. And maybe now it's time for you to develop that personal relationship. Well, I have to get up earlier and it's hard. Hey, listen, Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you, to lay down His life to protect you. I think we can get up a few minutes before work and have a relationship with Him. To be Monday morning Christians and not just Sunday morning Christians. To be Tuesday morning Christians, where we enter into the prayer closet personally, privately, with just you and the Lord. Because it's then and only then that we find that true rejuvenation in the relationship. Maybe you're someone in here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Maybe you've been going to church your whole life. Maybe you've been trying to live the right way. Maybe you've been trying to figure out that path of righteousness, but always falling short, always stumbling. You've never submitted yourself to follow that good shepherd. You've never surrendered yourself to the cross of Christ. You went to church. You're religious. You have a lot of things, but you've never called upon the name of the Lord for your salvation. You know, today, the greatest thing you can do, the most peaceful thing you can do, is surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take this burden from me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the good shepherd, that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me and shed your blood for me. Lord, that you rose from the grave to give me life through your death and your resurrection. Lord, save me. Maybe you're the Christian that's just trying to find something outside of his path and always not finding it. Today it's written, are you willing to take it to heart? Are you willing to follow after it? As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I'm grateful that you have given us a wonderful, wonderful picture of the character of the Lord Jesus. The good shepherd, gentle to his sheep, but fierce to the enemy, fierce, will do whatever is necessary to protect his sheep from death. Lord, thank you for being gentle with us, Lord, when we go astray, willing to pick us up, search us out, carry us back. Thank you for being that good shepherd who's willing when the enemy comes to lay down literally your life, that enemy of sin, that enemy of death, willing to lay down your life in our place so that we can have life. Lord God, I don't know what else more could have been said today. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a great work in transforming us this morning. Lord, that the word would penetrate deep into our hearts wherever we go back home to. Lord God, that our relationship would be made deeper, more intimate, more personal. Lord, I love you. I pray that you bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.